Blog Talk Radio.
Good enough for me also. I'm sure that those of you in the background are saying amen, amen, amen. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're doing well today on this beautiful Monday. We're in studio today to continue our study on Proverbs 15:8. Proverbs 15:8. Turn there, and we are about to read this wonderful Solomonic text, and it reads, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is God's delight." Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks on this beautiful Monday. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us another day above ground, another day in which we have breath in our nostrils, breath and air in our lungs. Thank you, Lord, for another day of giving us a state of being in our right minds. Thank you, Lord, for the health that we have. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings in our homes. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful church that you've given us, Grace Church. Thank you, Lord, for the brothers and sisters who make up this wonderful church. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your protecting angels who are encamped around about your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You with thanksgiving in our hearts and praises upon our lips. Bless us, we pray. Amen and amen. Last week, we spent the whole week, all 5 days, Monday through Friday, talking about the sacrifice of the wicked and what an abomination it is when it is presented to the Lord. This week, by contrast, we're going to be looking at the prayer of the upright and how that is the opposite of the sacrifice of the wicked. God looks at the sacrifice of the wicked adversely, but God looks and hears the prayer of the righteous, and it brings delight to his heart. So, let's begin by defining what is the upright. Who is the upright? Well, the text speaks of two kinds of worshipers. Two kinds of worshipers. One worshiper is described by the adjective wicked, a wicked man. There are wicked people. There are people who are the declared enemies of God. That's the wicked. Some of the wicked are undeclared enemies of God, as we learned last week. Some are declared, some are undeclared. Nonetheless, their heart and their attitude is against God. The other worshiper in the text is the upright. The upright. That's the other worshiper. One worshiper is wicked, and whatever he or she brings to God is foul. It's vile. It's abhorrent before the Lord. But on the other hand, when the upright approaches God and utters his or her prayers, those verbal expressions of praise and worship and acknowledgement are what? A delight to God. So, what is an upright man? What is an upright woman? Well, the Hebrew adjective yasar, if you transliterate the Hebrew letters into English, it's Y-A-Yasar, an adjective. I have here before me my little concise, I have a Webster's Concise Dictionary of Grammar for Home, School, and Office. I carry this thing with me all the time. This way, when I'm looking at a text or I'm analyzing a portion of scripture and I come across certain words, I can remember my definitions, the definitions of grammatical terms. An adjective is a grammatical term. And an adjective, according to this concise Webster's Dictionary of Grammar, an adjective is a word that describes or gives information about a noun or pronoun. In this case, the noun is the worshiper. The worshiper is upright. Whereas last week, the worshiper was described as wicked. So an adjective is a word that describes or gives information about a noun. Again, the noun is the worshiper who comes before God, the person, the man, the woman, the young person, the child, who draws near to God and who is upright. Also, this little book tells me that adjectives tell us something about the color, size, number, or quality or qualification of a noun. Let me repeat that. An adjective tells us something about the color, in this case, no. Size, no. Number, no. Quality, there you go. The quality of the worshiper or the classification of the worshiper. The worshiper is an upright man, an upright woman. Well, the Hebrew adjective yasar means three things. It means straight. The opposite of straight is what? Crooked. Straight or crooked. When you listen to people from the LGBT plus community, the alphabet letter community, they would ask you outright, Are you straight or are you gay? Straight meaning upright, heterosexual, and gay meaning crooked or twisted or wicked. Whenever they ask that question, I said, do you even understand what you're asking? What is the answer that you're looking for? Well, I want to know if you're straight or gay. Oh, you mean straight or crooked? I would tell them. No, I didn't say crooked. I said gay. Well, the opposite of straight is not gay. The opposite of wicked is what? Is the opposite of straight is what? Well, it's crooked. That's a fact. Look it up in any dictionary. Now, I'm pretty sure that they've updated the dictionaries to give it a sexual nuance, if you will. But in my day, when I was up and coming, when I was a teenager, when somebody asked you, are you straight or are you gay? I would reply as a young man in scriptures, you mean straight or crooked. We don't acknowledge the word gay. There's no gaiety. I'm sorry, but there's no gaiety in being gay. At least not for me. So, the word upright means straight. Straight. Jesus wants his children to live by the straight and narrow. Also, other Hebrew lexicons refer to the word upright or yasar. The second rendering would be just. A person who is upright is a just person, a fair person. The opposite of that would be unfair. Unjust. Again, so you have straight. The opposite of straight is crooked. You have just. The opposite of just is unjust or unfair. And then the Hebrew lexicons, again, tell us that the word upright or jasar can also mean right. So you have straight, just, or right. The opposite of right is wrong. So An upright person is a straight person, a just person, a right person. The wicked person is crooked, unfair, and always wrong. Now, we do not label ourselves, we do not judge ourselves to be upright or just or straight or good. The one who determines, according to the text, the one who determines who's wicked and who's upright ultimately is God. Again, let's look at the text. The sacrifice of the wicked, whether they be declared or undeclared, they're bringing animal sacrifices to the Lord. Well, God looks at those animal sacrifices and says, that's foul. That's vile. That's abhorrent to me. Why? Because the source of the gift, which is the wicked man or the wicked woman, their heart is against God. So this is why whatever the wicked bring, God considers it to be what? An abomination, a stench. But upright brings, which is prayer, God considers it a delight. God welcomes the prayers of the upright because, again, the source. Who's the source? A person whom God has declared to be straight or just or right. So these determinations as to who's wicked and who's upright are made by God. They're not made by society. They're not made up by the Supreme Court. They're not made up by any senator or any congressperson or any mayor or any governor of any state. Legislatures do not legislate who's right and who's wrong based on humanistic views, the determination before God as to who's right and who's wrong is whom? Is God. Take, for example, there are some states where abortion is legal. Well, when God looks at abortion, what does he say? That's wrong. That's wrong. Now, again, how many people view abortion as a good thing? And they promote abortions, and they advocate for abortions, and they would die on the abortion hill if need be. They would give their life for that cause, for the right for a woman to kill babies. They would die for that right. Many have. But God views it, they may think it's a right thing, and it's a righteous right for a woman to have, but God looks at that and says that's evil. Why? Because it's God who makes all true determinations. So when God considers a man to be upright, when God looks at a woman and declares her to be upright, this is what it means. They live according to what God deems as right. In other words, the upright man, the upright woman follows God's determination of what is right. Not the world's determination, not the state's determination, not Congress's determination of what's right or wrong, but they follow God. God is the ultimate authority in all matters of religion and morals. So an upright, a righteous man, a righteous woman is one who is right according to God's view, according to God's estimation, according to God's judgment. That's the upright man. That's the upright woman. So now, turn with me to Genesis. I'll give you an example of this. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to start reading at verse number 16, and this is Abraham's dialogue with God. And God is about to reveal to Abraham that he is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham begins to intercede, and he says, listen, Lord, if there be 50 upright people, if there be 50 righteous in the city, will you destroy it? And God said, no. So let's listen into this back and forth conversation between God and Abraham and how Abraham is able to argue for the non-destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah based on the fact that there are some upright people living, righteous people living in those wicked, vile cities. Now, you may want to take note of this. Go with me to Genesis 13:13. Genesis 13:13, and it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The sacrifice of the wicked, says Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But on the reverse side of the coin, the prayer of the upright is his delight. So now here is Abraham. He's praying. He's an upright man. He's a righteous man. He lives right before the Lord. He follows the commandments of the Lord. And now he is interceding. He is lifting up prayers on behalf of the righteous, if there be any, in Sodom. God does not dismiss him. God does not tell him to go away. God does not tell him, stop annoying me. No, God engages in conversation with Abraham as he prays to the Lord, because the prayer of the upright is a delight to God. God is not annoyed by Abraham's prayer. God welcomes Abraham's prayer. And the whole thing is about, will God destroy the righteous with the wicked? So let's listen. Genesis 18. Now remember, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were exceedingly wicked before the Lord. Thus beginneth the reading of God's word. Genesis 18:16.
Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said,
Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him.
Now look at verse 19. Let's pause here for a moment. This is God's estimation of Abraham. I know him. I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. You see, Abraham is an upright man. He is living, according to God's estimation, an upright, righteous life. He's a man whom God approves of. And so now God welcomes him to come to present his case, his intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's continue reading. Verse number 20 and following.
Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know.
Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord, and Abraham came near.
Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked?
You see, there's two kinds of worshipers. There's the upright worshiper in Proverbs 15:8, and there's the wicked worshiper. The adjectives wicked describes one kind of worshiper, and the adjective upright describes another kind of worshiper. And Abraham poses this question to God. He says, will you destroy the righteous, the upright worshiper, along with the wicked worshiper? Verse 24, let's see how he continues to argue, make his case before the Lord.
Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Shall not God, who's judge, who's a righteous judge, an upright judge, will God, who favors and delights in the righteous, will God himself now be wicked? No. Impossible. Verse 26.
If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes.
Indeed, now I, who am but dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5?
If I find there 45, I will not destroy it.
Suppose there should be 40 found there.
I will not do it.